Skyline's new chicken chili is here. Now you can enjoy that legendary Skyline taste with a new protein option. Try Skyline's chicken chili on Waze, Coney's, and all your Skyline favorites. Feeling good. It's Skyline time.
This is CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor. Here's John Batchelor.
Two wars simultaneously challenging the leadership of the United States. The Wall Street Journal highlights this quandary starkly. The larger context is that the U.S. and its allies now face two regional wars, goes the Wall Street Journal editorial, provoked by rogue states that are increasingly aligned. Israel and Ukraine are on the front lines, but the risk of an expanded conflict is real. Iran is feeding weapons into Vladimir Putin's invasion in Ukraine. Mr. Putin is a junior partner of the Chinese Communist Party, which could try to exploit the moment in the Pacific. Gregory Copley, the editor and publisher of Defense and Foreign Affairs, joins me from London to comment on what looks right now to be one story, the gathering of all the adversaries in one story, which is an assault on the world order. Gregory, a very good evening to you. The outbreak of war in the Middle East has shocked everyone. We're all reacting quickly, as much as possible. The immediate challenge is that the U.S. arsenal of democracy is dramatically depleted. The additional challenge is that the Ukraine war and the Gaza war could both become much larger wars to begin with. Just to name one possibility is the Hezbollah attacking Israel from the north, as at the direction of Iran, or the fact that this is eventually going to be Iran versus Israel. How do you measure the risk right now in Europe as well? Good evening to you.
Good evening, John. Well, there's no question that the Hamas-Israel conflict was predictable. This is the 50th anniversary of the October 1973 war, and you knew that the Palestinians had to make an issue of that. As well, we have the situation where the United States has been openly promoting the Saudi Arabia-Israel rapprochement, which had already been underway for some years, but the U.S. made a big public spectacle of it, and this directly threatened Iran. So it was obvious that moves would have to be undertaken to disrupt that process, because the Israel-Saudi rapprochement actually is to the detriment of Iran. So basically, yes, Iran would then support Hamas to conduct such a major breakout as it has now done. This is the best organized Hamas operation ever, and also of the larger scale, but it has no seeming objective beyond making a statement, unless they can then draw in Hezbollah from Lebanon and possibly Iran. And that's not likely to happen. Yes, Hezbollah is likely to happen, but drawing Iran in would be really dangerous for the clerics in Tehran. And they've not given any indication that they're prepared to go that far, but they want the proxies, Hezbollah and Hamas, to do their bidding on this. In the end, Hamas will pay a terrible price for the attack, and if Hezbollah comes in, which it may see as being worthwhile, it would certainly test the Israeli defenses, the Iron Dome situation in particular, but it would also invite a much wider response, probably including the United States, which is pre-positioned the USS Gerald Ford, the biggest carrier in the U.S. fleet, plus a half dozen very, very advanced heavy destroyers with great land attack capability. So in reality, we've got a situation which may get further out of hand, but the main takeaway from this is that it will remove some of the U.S. preoccupation with Ukraine and start to play down that particular conflict. I don't think you can see them as part of a united front against the West. I do think you can see this as actually diverting U.S. and European public attention away from Ukraine.
Does it touch upon the threat to Taiwan? This is 10-10 Day celebrated in Taiwan, but the Wall Street Journal mentions lessons learned of these conflicts. How do they see this in Beijing, Gregory?
Well, clearly, Xi Jinping, as General Secretary of the Communist Party of China, has been looking for an opportunity to either fulfill his promise to strike at Taiwan or to come up with some plausible excuse not to do so. The reality is that the main takeaways from all of these conflicts, as far as the People's Liberation Army is concerned, is that they see this as a war, the war against Taiwan, as being something which should start a trend which was unwinnable by the PLA. It would cause far too much damage. And the PLA, as we've discussed before, has essentially signaled to Xi that it's not about to commit to supporting an invasion of the Republic of China on Taiwan. So it's interesting that Beijing has been very muted in its comments on this year's Double 10 celebration, which, by the way, is also partially celebrated by Beijing because it represents the revolution which replaced the imperial rule in 1911.
And we come to the drain on the U.S. arsenal of democracy, so-called. That was FDR's term, but I use it here in the 21st century. The Journal mentions it. It also mentions that it's time for the Biden administration to work closely with the Republicans to replenish that arsenal as fast as possible, and that means build up the industrial base. Is that a bridge too far for them, Gregory, in your measure?
No, I think we're already seeing considerable common interest expressed by Republican and Democratic politicians on Capitol Hill to support increased defense spending and more efficient defense spending. We've got a long way to go to see that efficiency show any real effect. But certainly the factories are back at work, not just providing platforms like warships and aircraft and tanks and vehicles and the like, but also providing particularly the consumables, ordnance and ammunition, much of which was expended gratuitously by the U.S., feeding that into Ukraine to give Ukraine some hope that it could win militarily against Russia, which does not seem to be likely.
Is there any significant change of weather in London? This is outside the EU, but in NATO, the UK. The UK has been frontline in supporting Ukraine. Any change of direction there?
No, but the UK government is now preoccupied with the Israel situation, which is quite significant. In the streets of London, the West End in particular, where you have many, many rich Arabs, there's been a sense of jubilation by these young, rich kids with their Ferraris and Lamborghinis roaring up and down Knightsbridge, celebrating the Hamas breakout. I mean, it's basically an ignorant response, but it has angered so many British people and British politicians with calls to youngsters thrown out of the country.
Gregory Copley, editor and publisher of Defense and Foreign Affairs. He's in London. We turn now to a story that is incomplete. The recent elections in Nigeria, the largest, most populous and richest state in West Africa and all of Africa, and there's trouble. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Brown.
It's Cybersecurity Awareness Month. LifeLock is here with tips to help protect your identity. Use strong passwords, set up multi-factor authentication, report scams, and update your software. And for comprehensive identity protection, LifeLock is your best choice. LifeLock alerts you to suspicious uses of your personal information and fixes identity theft, guaranteed, or your money back. Start your protection today with a 30-day free trial at LifeLock.com. Use promo code NEWS. Terms apply.
This fall in love with Cozy. Nothing says autumn like wrapping up in the rich, warm colors of Minky Couture. From golden ambers to deep burgundy and rustic browns, Minky blankets bring the beauty of the season right into your home. Perfect for crisp evenings, family time, or gifting someone special. fall in love with Minky and shop your favorite fall colors today at minkycouture.com.